Our scripture reading today is in John chapter 3, starting at verse 14. John chapter 3, starting at verse 14. And this is I need to turn a page here. There we go. Jesus is talking with Nicodemus, and he says this: "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict: light has come into the world, but men love the darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." When I lived in Eugene, one of the many jobs I had was I worked at the Woolworth store in downtown Eugene. Remember Woolworths?
Oh, yeah.
The good old Five and Dime. And I was the freight guy, unload the trucks and get the stuff on the floor. And so they had in the basement of this building in downtown Eugene, they had a fantastic warehouse storeroom. And this was a classic for an old building that was, it was probably built in the 30s, something like that. And when you went down there, there wasn't one light switch that turned on all the lights. About every 20 feet, there was a light bulb hanging from the ceiling, and there was a switch on it. So as you walk through, you would have to turn on the switches. And there was one clear in the back where the switch was broken. And so if you had to turn that light on, you just screw the bulb in, which was fine, but after it had been on a while, it was a little painful to turn off. You know, so you lick the fingers and you do it real quick and you, and then you walk out. As you're walking out, you're turning off lights as you go. It was a great storeroom. There was some gals that worked there that would not go down there because it was kind of creepy. You know, an old boiler and just all the creaks and pops and groans of an old building. It was great. And it also had cockroaches. It had thousands of cockroaches. And the first thing going down there in the morning, the first time through, when you're turning on lights, you could just see them scattering in proverbial fashion, you know, as you walk through, and you can hear them scritches through the boxes and things. And you just, "Here I come!" And they would just, and I think that kept a lot of people out. But roaches, you know, roaches hate the light, don't they? They don't want to be running around when you turn the lights on. They don't want to be exposed. No one likes to be exposed, especially the cockroaches. They want to run and they want to hide, because when they're out in the open, they're vulnerable. You can step on them and you can catch it. You know, they got a survival instinct. And people are like that. They don't want to be exposed. Why do you think the crime rates are typically higher during the nighttime hours than during the day? That's when you have a lot of car break-ins. Something our city's been experiencing a lot in the last couple of years is car, they call them car clouds. And honestly, I don't know why people leave valuable things in their cars. Why? Don't do that, folks. Don't leave valuable things in your car. Because cars are very easy to break into. Anyway, between the hours of 1 a.m. and 4 a.m., I used to tell my sons, there is no good reason for you to be hanging out on the streets during those hours. You know, I learned something when I was with the police department, that during those hours, one third to half of all the cars on the road is being operated by someone who is impaired. And that goes up to almost three quarters of the cars when it's a holiday or a huge sporting event going on. Just think about that. Just about three-fourths of the cars that are on the road during those hours is being driven by someone who's impaired. Who wants to be out messing around with that many drunk drivers out there? It's nuts. It's crazy. There's no good reason to be out during those hours. So this image in John chapter 3 of these lovers of darkness is one that we can understand when we think about those who are up to no good and those who are out lurking in dark places and those who are looking to steal. But maybe it's not just an image of robbers wanting to break in and steal. Maybe this image is about all of us who try to hide sin, to keep it hidden, to keep it out of the light. And I've been walking with the Lord for about more than 30 years now, and I still got to wonder, why do we do this? Why are we so slow in bringing everything into the light when we know the goodness and the graciousness of our Lord? Do we not fully realize the hope and the grace that comes from Jesus? Do we not fully understand the work that was done on the cross for us? And I still scratch my head when I meet Christians who have been with the Lord for decades and decades, and yet they're still not fully surrendering things in their lives to Him. The light has come. Jesus has come to set us free. Jesus brings eternal life. Jesus, in this passage in John, Jesus mentioned the snake that was lifted up in the wilderness. And if you remember back to maybe some Sunday school lessons long time ago, clear back to Numbers chapter 21. The children of Israel are out in the wilderness. And believe it or not, they're in their 40-year wandering. And believe it or not, they're complaining again. They're still complaining. They're complaining about their circumstances. They're wishing that they're thinking about the good old days in Egypt. And they're thinking, why are we out here wandering in circles? We could be in Egypt in slavery, under bondage. But to them, that looks good. They're complaining about their leadership. They don't like Moses. They don't like the way he's leading them. And they're complaining about God's daily miracles. His provision of manna from heaven. They're complaining about that. And so, the scripture tells us that God sends snakes among them. And the people get bit by these snakes. And the people are dying because of these snakes. And so God tells Moses to make a snake out of bronze and to put it on a pole and to place it high, way up in the air, so that if someone gets bit by one of these venomous snakes, all they need to do is look to that bronze serpent and they would be healed. Do you remember that story? It's interesting, if you keep reading through Israel's history, that bronze snake became an idol. They started worshiping that snake, and it later had to be destroyed. But that's a whole nother sermon. But the snake brought healing to the people of Israel. If they looked at the snake, they were healed. And the comparison that Jesus is making here shows that Jesus came to bring healing. But not just healing, it points to his sacrifice on the cross. He's comparing himself to that snake in the wilderness, so that we who have been bitten by the poison of sin, instead of dying, we need only to look at Jesus and what he did on the cross, and we would live. That's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it? Look to the Savior and live. Well, why would he do this? He gives us the answer. He gives us the why in the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loves the world. This is the motivation behind what he does for us in Christ. And you see the connection. God loves. He gave. That's his motivation for giving. His love. You know, and I found that as I walk with Christ, as I grow in God's love, I find that I'm giving more and more. And I think you will too. If you find that your heart is full with God's love and God's love is overflowing, you're going to become a giver. And you can't help but give when your heart is filled with the love of God. Because that's a characteristic of God, that giving motivated by love. Are you a giving person? Well, the odds are good that you are being compelled and filled with God's love. And we go the opposite. Are you not a giving person? Are you kind of stingy? Well, you might need to re-examine and open yourself up and say, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your love, that I may be a giver. God loves. He gave. And those, excuse me, those who are condemned aren't condemned because of Christ, but they're already condemned through the way that they live. Jesus isn't bringing condemnation. People do a pretty good job of condemning themselves. Jesus is bringing light. Jesus is bringing freedom. But people love darkness. You know, when you've been in total darkness, like down in the caves at the lava beds, and then you come out into the light, it's pretty jarring. It's a bit of a shock to the eyes. It's different from what you've known, and it can be painful to walk into sunlight after being in darkness for a long, long time. Light exposes everything that we do wrong. When the light comes, it reveals imperfections and areas in our lives that we'd rather not be confronted with. It's easy to hide in the dark. And sometimes we don't really want to see ourselves for who we really are. But Jesus is the light. And when we come to Jesus, we have to be faced with who we are. Let's go back to Eugene. On the south end of Eugene is a butte called Spencer's Butte. I've climbed that thing 1,000 times. Well, not recently, but when I was younger. And my friends and I used to go up there in the dead of night, and we would a lot of people would go up there and drink and all that stuff, and we would escort them down because, they, you know, after a few beers, it's hard to come down a mountain, apparently. I wouldn't know. Honest. But there was one time we were up there, and there was no moon, and it was a cloudy night, so there weren't even any stars. And my friend Johnny and I, we were going to go down early. So we just start down. We didn't even think. We didn't have a flashlight or anything. You know, we've done this hundreds of times. We know the way. Well, we get down in the trees, and suddenly I'm like, Johnny, I don't think we're on the path anymore. Because we'd been talking, you know, not really paying that much attention. And the only light we had was from his watch. And this was like 85. So, you know, some of you weren't born yet, but they had lights on a watch that you would wear on your wrist. And they just put off this little glow. It really wasn't much of a light, but that was all we had. And I can still remember Johnny. He's bent over like this. I think it's over here. I think it's this way. Come this way. And why that stinking little wristwatch light, we found the trail. But it was crazy. This was something, we had been up and down this trail dozens and dozens and dozens of times. We knew it, but for some reason we weren't paying attention. There wasn't light. Suddenly we find ourselves off in the trees. Man, how often does that happen in life? You're not paying attention. You walk out of the light, and surprise, surprise, you're out in the woods. And you're having a hard time finding your way back. Light reveals where the path is. The light reveals where we should put our feet. The potholes and the ruts and the snares and the branches are hidden in the darkness. Walking in the light reveals these dangers so that we can go around them, so that we can stay clear of them, that we can stay on the path that God has for us. The light gives us the ability to grow. It helps us see. It helps us grow. Just like light helps plants. You know, you've seen plants that you grow inside that start leaning towards a window or going towards a window. And that's called tropism, heliotropism. You'll learn about that in school. And light, the plants go towards the light. We need that. Our bodies need light. Something about vitamin D or something? It's good for us. We need to get out in the sunshine. It's also true of our spiritual growth. Without the light of Christ, we can't grow in the grace and the truth that He has for us. We become anemic in our faith, and we get weak, and we just don't have what we need to grow and be mature Christians. And, of course, the light leads us to eternal life. Ultimately, the light of Jesus shines in the darkest places of the world and brings life to those places. Everywhere the gospel has touched, lives have been changed. Lives have been changed for the glory of God. The light of Jesus shines in the darkest places of our hearts and can bring healing and hope. And ultimately, it brings eternal life. And we don't have to wait until we die to experience eternal life. Eternal life isn't some sweet by and by, pie in the sky. Eternal life begins now. Eternal life is today. It starts today. Jesus said, John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. That abundant life starts now. We don't have to wait till we die. Unless we want to be like cockroaches and run and hide from the light. I hope that's not what you do. You know, I remember my sons aren't here tonight so we can talk about them. but I remember, and you know, every parent here knows that time when they walk into the room and they see the kid hide something, right? What you got? You know, you walk in and, oh, what are you hiding? You got something. And most likely, it's Snickers bar. You walk in, hey, Josiah, where'd you get that Snickers bar? It's mine, Dad. I said, son, you know the rules. Snicker bars aren't allowed in this house unless you share with Dad. That's the rule in my house. I don't know about your house. And he didn't want to share, so he's don't be like the cockroaches. Don't run and hide from the light. When the light of Jesus comes, come into the light and let the light change you and grow you and bring eternal life. The darkness around us does not need to be feared. The darkness needs to be illuminated. We need Christ to bring light and life into our life. As followers of Jesus, we're also called to bear that light wherever we go. Remember, Jesus tells us, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And no one lights a candle and then hides it. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We have the hope in Jesus that the evils and the sins that so easily destroy and snare and catch people will disappear in the presence of Christ. Christ has come to bring eternal life and not condemnation. This is the hope that we have. This is a product of the light of Christ. So my encouragement to you, my plea to you, is when the light of Christ shines into your life, don't try to hide. If you find yourself hiding something, if you find yourself closing off part of your life, I pray that you would, by God's grace and God's Spirit, that you would open up that door just a little bit and just let the light of His grace shine in. And let that light purge and cleanse you. That's the way we were created to live. That's what He wants for us, His children. So I'm going to ask, would you please stand with me and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we find ourselves on a dark and steep path and we're tripping and we're stumbling through life and we feel, Lord, that we may never find the path again, I thank you, God, that you are always a light for us. And when we call out to you, the light shines. God, I pray that we would never wander off without a light. I pray that your light would be with us at all times, that we would take it with us, that we would use it to guide our steps, that we can see the snares and the pitfalls. We can see the dangers that are around us and avoid them. Lord, I pray that as your light shines into our lives, that we would not be like cockroaches, that we would not scatter and hide. I pray that we would trust you as the Heavenly Father that you are, full of grace and mercy. I pray that we could come to you with openness and expose everything to you and let your light of truth shine on us, that we may stand pure and holy before you, that we may be blameless and pure, shining as stars in the wilderness, in the universe, in this dark and dreary land. Oh God, may we illuminate the world around us with the light that you have given us from within. May the Christ light shine out. I pray, Lord God, that we would cling to the promise that as we come to you, as we confess our sins, that you forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I pray that as we walk in the light, as Christ is in the light, that we have fellowship with one another. And I pray, Lord, that your light would guide us and direct us in all things, that you might receive the glory, that the name of Christ might be exalted in our midst. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take a minute.